Yeah, I gotcha.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking some time to join us. Congratulations on the third place finish. We're now joined by Brandon Brown, driver of the number 68 Brandon Built Motorsports Chevrolet. And we are going to get right into questions for you, Brandon. So let's kick things off with Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Brandon, when you started that last green, white checkered finish, did you envision a third place finish? And what did you see over those wild last couple of laps?
You know, to be 100% honest, I didn't really know what to envision. I just knew that kind of being on the bottom, especially here at Phoenix, how it fans out so far, you can go way below the yellow line through turns one and two. You kind of control your own fate down there rather than running the top and hoping the people on the bottom can hold on to it. And I think seeing, you know, people that weren't able to hold the bottom kind of bottleneck the top and caused a big incident where we were just able to pounce on it. So envisioning a third, I don't know, but you know, really and truly, I was looking at the back of the leader like, man, that would be great to get up there.
And did the traction compound ever come in today, and did it change at all during the race?
The traction compound came in huge. It was one of those things where in the first few laps, I was so much better on the bottom, but after that competition yellow, I mean, it really came to life, especially for our car. I was just kind of fighting a bit of a tight. So as soon as I was able to get up there, I was able to kind of ease into it, straddle it, kind of help rotate the car. And then it, especially turn one and two, just gave you such a launch. And I mean, I say turn one and two, three and four as well, giving you a great run of momentum down the front stretch.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. We'll take our next question from Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Brandon, congratulations on the finish today. How important was this finish to you and the team, knowing there's a little bit of instability with sponsorship and all?
I mean, this is huge. This is what the sponsors that are on board need to see. This is what potential sponsors need to see, you know, potential investors, everybody that comes into play when it comes to the finance game of NASCAR. You have to perform to get the TV time, to get the notoriety, to get basically the ROI for the sponsor, and making these runs, these last, you know, we need to run up front all day, but these last lap moves, I think it really, really helps.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, we'll take our next question from Dustin Albino. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Brandon, good run today. Four top 11 finishes in the first five races, obviously made the playoffs last year, but how surprised are you with the hot start so far this year?
Honestly, this was one of those things where we knew we needed a good start. We didn't expect this hot of a start, but we knew we needed a good start, better than last year, just because of how stout the Xfinity field is now with cars added, drivers added full season. It's just one of those things where those spots where we kind of nudged our way in, you're not going to be able to nudge anymore. You're really going to have to fight for just to kind of meet that same deadline of making the playoffs.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, we'll take our next one from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Marissa. Brandon, congratulations first off. I know, obviously, you ended last year on you know, a bit of a strong streak and really showed some guys what you were capable of in the playoffs. Did you guys make any specific changes going into this year that's kind of contributed to this, that built off of what you guys did in the playoffs last year?
Yeah, so we really got into this year needing to be ahead of schedule and needing to be ahead of the game, making sure cars were prepped way in advance, because when you have a smaller staff size, my role becomes involved in the car getting to the racetrack. So when I'm not having to focus on doing that, I can go focus and watch race film. I can watch tape. I can look at data. I can way better prepare myself for each track that we show up to. And it's so crucial, especially when, you know, you're showing up with no practice, no qualifying, it's just green flag racing. So I think it helps us fire off better. And when you run up there more consistently, sometimes you can have some stage points, and that's super important to us. And that's kind of translated to the success is being there and being in that position to make a pounce when something like this happens. So that's kind of been the big deal is, you know, being much better prepared both on and off track. And then just you know, again, adding a little bit to the arsenal, trying to work in better with ECR, work in a little better with RCR, get newer parts, newer chassis. That's what we're really working on. And I think that's what's going to help us make that next step.
As a bit of a follow-up, I mean, what has this kind of a start done for your confidence as a driver and some of these guys that you've been racing against week after week all of a sudden?
I mean, it gets my confidence way up. I mean, it just shows them, you know, that the 68's there, the 68's going to race, he's going to race hard. I think they already knew that. But one of those things is just, you know, when the opportunity is there, I'm going to take it. You know, I'm not going to lay back and like, ooh, get timid. It's one of those things that we're really going to pounce on. So I'm hoping it's something like this that really catches fire for us, really propels us in the right direction. That way, you know, everywhere we're being recognized on and off the track. And, you know, even in driver intros, not getting called the wrong Brandon. That'd be great if this run would help that.
Thanks, Matt. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right. We'll take our next question from Aaron Berrigan. Go ahead.
Hey, Brandon, congrats on the good run today. You mentioned how the field was more stout this year. You entered today 10th in points, but you still have guys like, you know, the JRM trio, Riley Herbst, trying to chase you down in the standings. What sort of performance or run throughout the year do you think it is going to take to be able to crack the playoff field again?
I mean, it's going to take us being better than we were last year. It's going to take us being better than 11th most weeks. We need to be constantly in the top 10, constantly fighting for stage points. We want to really work on trying to get a stage point. I think it's going to take those playoff points to get you in, because there's more than enough cars that can win to lock all the playoff spots up. So we have to no doubt be the best of the rest and beat some of those, you know, top cup affiliate teams or established teams, whatever, however you want to word them. We have to be there. And, you know, we have to take advantage of their mistakes constantly.
Thank you, sir. Yep.
All right, we'll take our next question from Cole Cusimano. Go ahead, Cole.
Thank you, Marissa. Hey, congrats, Brandon, on a career best finish. Tires or lack thereof seem to really play a factor today. Are you in favor of having limited sets? And do you feel this maybe heightens opportunities for drivers like yourself who aren't racing for Gibbs or JRM or Penske?
Yeah. I mean, limited tires is the double-edged sword. It's, you know, it's great when, you know, you have that last fresh set and everybody's already taken them, but they're terrible when, you know, you're stuck on your last set and somebody else gets to take them. But overall, I am a proponent of it. I'm a fan. I like it. I think it keeps costs down on teams. It makes teams work a little harder. You know, the crew chiefs have to think a little harder. Drivers have to know how to, you know, kind of give a little bit mid-run and save something for the end. You can drive extremely hard, or you can, you know, lay back and, you know, do a little strategy to it. So I think I'm for it. Just, I guess, to answer your question straight up.
Thank you. Congrats.
Yep.
All right. We'll take our next question from Garrett with the Gas and Go podcast. Go ahead.
Hey, Brandon, I just texted you what I think, but I want to ask you, what would you like to say to everyone back home in Virginia watching tonight?
I mean, holy cow. Did you guys see that? That was sick. I'm so excited. I'm just so pumped for everyone back in Virginia, because that's just about where all of our sponsors are. So I'm so thankful for all of them. Larry's Lemonade, Green Tech Solar, Jabs Construction, Brandonville Foundations, Mid-Atlantic Record Service. A lot of the names that you see on our car, they're all Virginia based. And then, you know, East Coast based would be the Coastal Carolina Chanticleer. So I'm excited for them and able to give them a good showing. But it means a lot, because now when I go home, I know Dad's ear to ear right now. I know Mom is ear to ear. I can't wait to FaceTime him in a little bit before we jump on the flight. But I'm ecstatic. I love bringing good finishes home and kind of bringing a star on the little county known as Prince William County in Virginia. So I'm excited.
Thanks, man. Congrats on the big finish.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Marty Sakala. Go ahead, Marty.
Thanks, Marissa. Brandon, congratulations on your best Xfinity finish. Just looking into next week at Atlanta, how much does this finish act as a confidence booster into trying to get your first top 10 there at the 1.5 mile track?
Oh, I mean, this is huge for us. I think it's going to play a big factor into, you know, where we start next week, how, you know, our pit box that we get to pick for next week. Everything adds up. So outside of the confidence, the strategy wise, it helps a ton, but confidence, I mean, I'm over the moon. I'm ready to take on anybody and everybody. This isn't the first week that we're parked in front of the JRM haulers. You know, they know that we're there. They see us working. They see our cars unload. I mean, we're a force to be reckoned with. And I think the start of that season shows it, because we've run just about one of each and we've been strong in each. So I don't see this freight train stopping anytime soon. I think we're just going to keep trying to build steam. And to be quite honest with you, I want to go out and get my first win. I want it bad. And I think that's what it's, you know, almost going to take to make the playoffs. So heading into Atlanta, I love that track. It's gritty on tires. It's one of my favorites. So I'm over the moon looking forward to it.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. All right. We'll take our next question from Dominic Aragon. Go ahead.
Thank you. So, Brandon, when you look back on this race, career best in the Xfinity Series to this point, what are you going to remember most about this run?
Well, I'm just happy that it's not, you know, they're not going, oh, it's just at a super speedway, fluke, you know, just everybody else wrecked out. It was one of those things where we had to race all day, fight all day. Granted, you know, people getting together on the last lap, you love to see it when it's not you, when you can take advantage of it. So I'm ecstatic with it. I'm going to look back at this race as we fought hard all day. I won't say this is the strongest car we've ever brought to a track, but I think it was definitely extreme. It was hand over fist better than the car that we brought last year. So Doug Randolph, RB Brack, and everybody at Brandonville Motorsports, they're making the right calls and putting these things together the right way. So I'm so happy to look back and know that this was just a great race.
Thank you.
All right. And Chris Knight, did you have one last question for Brandon? Go ahead.
I did. Brandon, do you have a sponsor next weekend for Atlanta? And if so, who is it? And how many races is your team still looking for sponsorship for?
Yeah, so we are looking for, I mean, there's probably still like 16 to 18 races that we don't have filled. Atlanta, we're probably going to go back with the home team company on there that we had on at Homestead. Brandonville Foundations, give that car a way better shot than Homestead, hopefully, if the same thing happens and I'm ripping that wrap off. I don't know. But we are fighting really hard to go find sponsorships and to bring partners on board of this car. It's something that we definitely need, especially when we look forward to taking the next step to be more competitive, better top tens, maybe more top fives, and again, knock down that first win.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, Brandon. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us. Congratulations on a great finish, and we will see you at Atlanta.
Thank you.
Sure. And we are now joined here by Ty Gibbs. Let me see if I can get him spotlighted for us. Hey, Ty, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Awesome. Well, it's good to see you back in the hot seat again. Our winner from yesterday's ARCA Menards Series race, and our second place finisher from tonight's race. So Ty, we're gonna get right into questions for you and we will kick it off. Chris, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Ty, going into that last restart, what'd you see? And did you have any thoughts of, dang, I might have a chance at this thing?
I just kind of thought to myself, what would Bob do? And I did that. No, I'm just kidding. The 10 had me, I got to go back and look at it, but I think I was jacked up pretty good there. Even though my restarts were terrible in general, that's something I got to work on. And he kind of dove the inside. And then just threw it in there. And at that point, I had to just check up because I know I was going to get drove in the fence. But I just kind of let him go up there and wipe everybody out. And I just crossed him back over, kind of avoided all guy there at the end off of turn two and just kept digging from there. I was focused on the 22 to kind of get to him. I just didn't have enough time. I feel like we were closing on pretty good. I just feel like we got too tight in dirty air, but the farther we got up kind of in clean air when I was kind of by myself there, I kind of felt the clean air for the first time the whole day and drove pretty good.
And they reapplied the traction compound this morning. I was curious if you've did it react any differently than it did yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday I didn't really run up into it with the ARCA cars, but I feel like it needed to be a little bit lower on the track for us to race in it a little bit more. I feel like it was just where it was at. It was kind of a single lane track. Unless you can kind of dive off under somebody, and if they get loose, you can kind of slide job them in 3 and 4. Just where it was at, it was really hard. It was more of a single lane track.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jenna Fryer.
Hey, Ty, I got some other sort of offbeat questions for you. I see you eating a sandwich there. After your race at Daytona, you were really hungry. You said it made you a little weak. I mean, you said you're a little guy. What's your tolerance? How long can you go? These races are longer than anything you've been in, right?
Yeah, I can go all day if I have to, but I just like a little snack, little PB&J, always good for the day, end the day on a good note, you know, but just I was just a little hungry.
And I'm curious, what do you call your grandfather?
Well, I call him Coach. That's how me and my cousins have always called him that, just forever. And then I call my other grandpa. It's just kind of always been like that. That's how we were raised, just always saying Coach. So I never really had never called him Grandpa.
Okay, I asked because I showed a picture of you in pre-race. It said Coachy and Ty. And I didn't know if you called him Coachy.
Yeah, Coachy, Coach, whatever the – I don't know.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Davey Segal. Go ahead, Davey.
Hey, Ty, we know that you're pretty notoriously hard on yourself, and clearly you're off to a rousing start, first and second in your two starts. How are you going to manage expectations, though, throughout this season specifically? And obviously, as your career goes on, you'll learn, but you're really hard on yourself, and you're not going to finish first and second every single week. You know that. So how are you going to manage that when you don't have good runs like you have these past couple races?
Yeah, well, somebody can set the highest expectation they ever want to win every single week, with every single laps. I can only do the best I can, and that's the only thing I will do. And I'm going to make sure at the end of the day, I'm going to go for the win as much as I can. I'm going to do everything I can to win. There's in my head, anybody could tell me something on expectation-wise, I'm going to do the best I can for my team, and that's going to become of it. I really don't think there's any other answers to that.
And you became the first driver since Terry Labonte, who's a Hall of Famer, obviously, in 1985 and 86 to finish first and second in your first two races. Do you have a relationship with Terry? And if so, or if not, I mean, just what does having a record like that shared with him mean to somebody like you?
Yeah, you know, that's really cool. I wouldn't honestly compare myself to people like that. Of the last two lists I've been on, I will never be as good as those guys are. You know, I will never, ever have the chance to race with them. But it's super cool to be on a list. Those guys are so above, you know, me. And to even be on a list in my second Xfinity race, it's really cool. You know, it's just a lot to think about. It's like, you know, you've got guys you've watched your whole life, you know, even before you were born, one of the baddest dudes to ever do it. And you're on the same list as them in your second Xfinity race. It's a lot to think about. I'm very thankful for that. Super, super cool.
Appreciate it, man. Nice job.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Marissa. Ty, congratulations on the great run. We saw the move you tried to make there in turn three on the last lap. Was that realistically as deep as you could put that car in turn three, trying to get to Cindric's bumper?
I mean, I could drive in there even farther and just wreck him, but I don't think that's respectful at all. I don't think I want that to happen to me. I wouldn't do that to anybody else if I was that far back. That's just plain out wrecking somebody for the win, and I don't want to race like that. I want to race respectfully with these guys. I have a lot of respect for them, and I want to earn it. I don't want to wreck people to win.
And as far as the track changes from the ARCA race to the Xfinity race, how much did you notice, particularly coming up through traffic? Because you didn't have to do a lot of that in the ARCA race last night.
Those things are just so different. You got downforce and no motor at all, and you've got good amount of motor and no downforce at all. So it's hard to compare the ARCA part of the Xfinity car, honestly. So it helped me out with track, with filling the track out and track time, but honestly, not too much with the cars. Xfinity cars are just so different, way more of a driver's car, I think. I like the feel of it because you can drive, you know, you're loose, you're hanging on for grip, and you've got the baddest guys doing it racing against, so it's a good time.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you, and great run tonight, Ty. Just kind of curious, I've talked to Coach quite a bit about whether taking you guys out on the golf course or, you know, I've run into him at games, at going to your basketball games or soccer games at Lake Norman, why? And just wondering, you know, what has it been like to have quality time with somebody like that that really understands competition?
You know, it's really cool. I feel like we all have, all my brothers and cousins, and I feel like we all have a really good, really close personality. Wise, I feel like we're all competitive, so when we're all hanging out, it's always a competition. If it's golfing, I want to be the best. If it's racing go-karts, I definitely want to be the best. You know, just, it's super cool. I have a really great relationship with my grandpa and my dad, especially. My dad is a little bit different compared to them, but we all like to have a good time. We all work really hard at what we do, and they're great role models for us and for me, definitely. They've been a big help. And they're it's family. You can't say no. You can't say you don't like it because I love them.
Appreciate your time. Safe travels.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello again, Ty. I was just wondering, you have had a whirlwind couple weeks, the last couple weeks. Now you get kind of like a month off before you race your next races. Just wondered, what will you be doing in the downtime before you return to the ARCA and your next Xfinity race?
Yeah, I'm just going to go just do everything I can to make myself the best race driver I can be, just from watching sim or from driving, running sim on the steering wheel, and from watching it to watching the races to just everything as much as I can. Go-karts, everything I can. There's no limit. The sky's the limit. You keep going and going and going, and that's what I'm going to do. I'll work hard.
And although you're just a little bit in, do you really like the schedule of racing quite frequently? I mean, do you like being in the car as much as possible?
I love being in the car. Like I said before, I'm obsessed with racing. I love it. I love driving. I love competition. I love racing people. I love winning. I just enjoy it so much. So as many times as I get to get in the car, very thankful to, and I just love it. I love to be in the car as much as I can.
Thanks, Ty.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Cole Cusimano. Go ahead, Cole.
Thank you, Marissa. Hey, Ty, speaking with you last night, you said you didn't believe in feelings until after the mission was complete. After finishing second in your oval debut, is the mission accomplished, and what are your feelings like right now?
Yeah, I'm definitely satisfied with second place finish, but not all the way. I feel like in life, you really can't get comfortable no matter what the situation is. Now I'm thankful to be in this spot. I'm thankful to race cars. I love it with all my heart and soul. I wouldn't do anything else. But at the same time, if you want to be the best, and I've watched, you know, the baddest dudes to do it, you know, they're not satisfied completely with second. You're the first loser. So, you know, I'm very thankful. I'm very happy to finish second and another top two. But at the same time, I was so close to the win. And it's like you're having a fight with your girlfriend. You love her, but you are mad at her for a little bit. It's like one of those deals, but it's more like 50-50.
Thank you. Congrats.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. And we're going to take a final question here for Ty before we are joined by our race winner. So Chris Knight, go ahead.
Hey, Ty, thanks. Congratulations on a good run today. Not that it matters, but you've never been to Martinsville in an Xfinity car. But how much have you ever been raced there at all? And how much time will you be on the simulator? Or do you even do iRacing as well at Martinsville?
Yeah, I run a lot. Martinsville, I've raced there at late models a couple times. Even though that's a disaster. But I've had some time there. It's a very fun track. You know, I feel like that's a very popular track on iRacing. I've grown up playing that and on everything. So I'll have a lot of track time, but I've got enough to kind of feel where I need to be at, and I've watched a lot and just, you know, it's it'll be fun getting to run with the top guys here again. Hopefully we're up front. I hope we are, and I'm just gonna keep working hard at it, and hopefully we can have a shot to win there.
Thank you.
Hi. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on another great run.
Thank you.
All righty, and we have our race winner, Austin Sindrick. Austin, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking some time to join us. We're going to jump right into questions for you, and we will kick off with Andrew Curlin. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, Austin, I saw that you took a selfie with a bunch of the fans down the front stretch. Could you just tell us a little bit about that and what the reaction was?
Yeah, honestly, you know, when we're able to get little fans out here and the folks that do stay are as passionate as that group, you know, they're standing by the start-finish line. And, I ran up to them and got one of their phones and was able to take a selfie and give it back to them through the fence. So I feel like it's the little things like that. You know, if I was a kid out here watching a race, I'd want to get a picture with my favorite driver, the guy that won the race, and they took their time out of the day to come out and watch some Xfinity Series racing, and obviously we're excited by the end. So like I said, it's little things I can do that can make people come back, because it's cool to get to do what I do, and if there's people that appreciate it, it makes it that much cooler.
Cool moment. Thanks. Congrats.
Thanks, man.
All right, we'll take our next question from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Austin, you were complaining earlier, kind of middle of the race, that you felt like your tires, that your car got really loose on the restart. So I'm curious if you ever figured out what it was. Do you think it was buildup? Do you think it was the traction compound or anything?
Yeah, after we came in, after we came in for our last set of tires, you know, there's still 70 laps to go. So kind of anticipating a long run there, and I think we made the wrong adjustments and it put us on the splitter. And I was on the splitter for the first 5 laps of a run, and that made the car pretty difficult to drive. You know, that's something that we usually don't have to fight on the Xfinity side, but when you got these types of tires on this type of track, low air, it makes that really easy. So I wasn't expecting to have to deal with that. I had to deal with that on that final restart. And, you know, I thought it was going to get better with age on tires, and actually got worse with age on tires. So I was actually quite glad to have a buffer there for the last 2 laps. So I think that definitely played out in our favor, but definitely nice to be able to find the limit of where something like that is, and be able to bring the notebook a little thicker next time we come here.
And how different, or was it different, the traction compound between today and then like last November and last spring?
Yeah, it was definitely different. It was probably a little less usable today. The track was a little bit narrower. Whether that has to do with the amount of races that have run before us, you know, granted in the fall, we had a truck race before our race, and the temperature was a little warmer as well. So there's a few factors, and like everyone, I think we're all learning what this traction compound does and how it comes on, how it fades, and where your strengths and weaknesses have to be. So I feel like I was a little bit handicapped by that today. That it wasn't in as much as what it was in the fall, but like I said, just good notes for the time we come back.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We're going to take our next question from Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Austin, do you see a weakness in your program right now?
Yes and no. I think there's always areas to improve. You know, today I think we, if I'm being honest, got over a hurdle. You know, we've had some opportunities to pit from the lead in the majority of the races this season, and we've lost it. And we did that today, and my guys rallied and came back and got me the lead back on pit road. So I'm really proud of that effort. You know, those guys work really hard. They do a lot of great work on Sundays, and I'm proud that we were able to overcome a flaw and make it a strength today. So I'm proud of that group. You know, it's a great group of guys. I get to go to the gym with them very often, so I'm very, very happy to see that. You know, we've had a lot of different types of racetracks here at the beginning of the season. I think we've been able to get a really great baseline on our program and keep rolling updates and trying to get better.
Straight up, head to head, if you don't have any problems, is there anyone that can consistently beat you right now?
I feel like that's a really opinionated question. And right now we're pretty strong at a lot of different types of racetracks. But look, I think we have to keep raising our game. There's guys that have made some definite gains in the off season, and in some places they've surpassed us. So I'm pretty motivated to keep matching that effort and trying to figure out where the next stage can be.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, next question from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, congrats, Austin. I was just wondering when the last caution came out and it took a little bit and it looked like then it turned into it was just going to be a two-lap dash to the finish. Do you have any sense of deja vu as to how the championship race was unfolding last November?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, a bit of a role reversal there. Instead of me picking the line right behind Allgaier to keep the enemy close, he did the same thing to me today. So it was interesting to see the role reversal. I think he did a really great job on the restart on his launch there. So definitely want to go back and study that. But I think honestly, those caution laps, the caution did not play into my hands, but the caution laps there definitely did. Because like I said earlier, I felt like we were really bad on the splitter for the first five laps, and we're pretty vulnerable. So I think that worked out honestly the best for me, because I feel like I was worried that I was going to get eaten up there, and obviously we had the buffer to manage it.
And kind of following up a little bit on Jenna's question, when you come off a year of winning a championship and winning, I think, you know, all the races that you did last year, obviously the expectations are high when you're coming to do the same series again. How would you assess in that sense how you and your team have performed so far with already getting two wins so far this season?
Look, we expect it out of ourselves. I think our partners expect it. I know the people back home expect it. So, we want to be the best every single weekend at every single type of racetrack. I think that's obviously a blanket goal for the entire field. But I think we're at the point where, you know, we leave with the top five a little bit disappointed. And I have to remind myself some days that there was a time that all I wanted to do was finish in the top five in this series. So, I understand the climb, and I understand the guys that I'm racing around that either haven't won this year, haven't won at all, or are fighting for wins every weekend. I know that feeling, and I feel like it helps me race better, race smarter, and be able to maybe understand what's happening around me. So I think that's a strength for us. We've got almost all the same people on this 22 team that we had last year. So I think they expect it as well. So I love what I see out of my team. They're stepping their game up every week, and it's my job to equalize that effort and do my part.
Thanks, and congrats again.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jesse Morrison. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, Austin. I just wanted to ask you, big win today. Obviously, it's a really cool moment for you. But, you know, last year at this time, it wasn't exactly a fun time. I mean, you guys had your race postponed, and, you know, the season was, like, shut down for a while. What do you remember about back then, and then just how great is it to, you know, be back and getting back to some sort of normal?
Yeah, I mean, I think the position I'm in right now is not something I could have imagined, especially during our COVID break there. I think we've touched on it quite a bit that, you know, there's a very strong likelihood of our program getting shut down the longer that break took. And obviously I found myself in a position not only to be able to continue running that season in 2020, let alone, but to also win the championship and also come back and do it again, something I didn't think was possible no matter how the championship went. And also for me to have my future is somewhat more certain with my plans for 2022 and beyond. So I feel really blessed, and I feel like I've got a really great opportunity that not too many people get. And I wake up with that every day, knowing that it's my job to make the most of it. So it doesn't make me special. It's a wider window for me to work in, and I want to fill that window up with as much as I can do during the week, during the races, and carry as much as I can into the following year, and also trying to have the championship effort.
And last year, when it all shut down, did you think it might be over for you?
That was the question I didn't want to ask, because you don't want the answer. So obviously things worked out for the better, and I've given a lot of credit to NASCAR for getting this back up and running, because that definitely saved us and saved a lot of other race teams, I'm sure, as well. So at least our program. So It's something you don't want to think about as a racer, but I've had friends, colleagues, teammates, co-drivers, rivals that have fallen and not been able to continue their careers for whatever reason. So I have enough perspective on that from other people to know how lucky I have it. So it's my job to make the most of it.
Thanks. Congrats on the win.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take our next question from Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Austin, congratulations on the win today. I was just curious if you could tell me who you feel like your biggest challenger are right now in the Xfinity Series. I know it's still early in the season and only five races in, but what do you think that as the season goes on that you feel like it's going to find some momentum and somebody you're going to be challenging for the victories each week?
Yeah, I think at this time last year I would have told you there was three or four guys, and right now I could probably name six or seven. I feel like the guys at Colleague have stepped up. Obviously, the guys at Gibbs have been bringing more race cars to the racetrack. Daniel's been running consistently up front, which you would probably expect. And I feel like Noah and Justin have been strong as well. So it's hard to pinpoint one group, which makes you focus on yourself. Cause if there's too many people out there doing too many different things, you just got to get better. So I'm motivated on that. Obviously, it's a long year. Larry Mack told me when I was on Sirius XM that there's 280 some days until we come back and until Phoenix. So that's my Mac nugget for the week. And that actually gave me more perspective than I thought. So it's a long year, and with my schedule, I've got about four off weekends planned out. So I'm looking forward to nailing down the rest of our schedule and trying to get more days like today.
Is it a safe assumption, Austin, that you feel like that everybody's chasing you and the number 22 team at this point?
I mean, based off the numbers, yes. Otherwise it's hard to speculate. I've been the guy looking up and trying to chase somebody. I've never been that shoe's never been on the other foot, at least in NASCAR. So if it is, it's great, but you can't change your focus.
Thank you, Austin. I appreciate your time.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take your next question from Davey Segal.
Hey, Austin, this is the first weekend or first race that you've won at the same track, not on the same weekend, because Kentucky was the same weekend last year. So I'm curious if you were able to take something last year from Phoenix in the championship finale, besides the pomp and circumstance that came along with it in terms of on track setup, things of that nature. Could you take any of that to today?
Certainly. We took a great race car and tried to make it better and learn some things for the fall. And I think there's some things that we did today that were better, and I think there's some things today that we did worse. And to still be able to build that notebook and get a win, get some playoff points today, that's big. It's really big. It's the track that you want to have it happen. It's the most important track on the schedule. So very, very happy to be able to knock that out. And we've been contenders every week this year, and that feels good. That feels really good. It's a good way to start, but it's a start. So there's a long season ahead, just the regular season itself. So I'm pretty motivated to keep it going.
I heard you talking on MRM pre-race about the pink fire suit and the pink car. Clearly worked, and you're going to be in this car a lot more this year. So, I mean, is the verdict officially a positive one on the pink?
It's easy to find. The Pink Panther is obviously fast, and obviously getting in victory lane makes the boss happy. So great to get car shopping in victory lane in our first race, and hopefully it's one of many.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Marissa. Austin, congratulations on the victory. Actually, to kind of follow up on Davey's question about the car, I know there's always pressure when you're driving for Roger Penske, but when you've got a sponsor that's also an affiliate of Penske Automotive, does that put any extra pressure to perform, knowing that not only are you representing the boss, but you're representing one of the boss's companies and brands as well?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think it's a great opportunity for our program in the Xfinity Series to be able to try and build the brand of Car Shop. Obviously, like you mentioned, it's affiliated with Penske Automotive Group, and obviously Roger has a lot of different businesses outside of racing, and for us to be able to have the opportunity to try and build one of those businesses is really cool. Obviously, me just speculating, it's almost a vote of confidence that he's put in us, that we can be the ones to wave the flag for Car Shop and hopefully put that car in victory lane. That's the best way to promote a sponsor, is to win races. And so far we're one for one.
And as far as the season so far, you know, everybody's talked about your hot start, but you seem as relaxed as I've ever seen you, even going back to your early days in the short track cars. I mean, do you feel as comfortable in your role and where you're at in your career as perhaps you've ever been? Because obviously there's been so many times when you've been thrown to the wolves and had to scratch and claw just to learn and make your way.
Yeah, I think for me, there's a lot of normal things going on. You know, I've been in this series for, this is my fourth year in the series, which seems hard to believe. But, you know, before that, I don't think the longest I'd stayed in the same car for a consecutive year was Legends Cars. So I've been learning a lot at a very fast pace. And I remember a lot, honestly, in my sports car days, I'd go up and ask people, whether if it was guys who are leaders of manufacturers or different race teams, and you know, obviously introduce myself and I'll ask them, you know, what can I do to make me, a better driver for you? What can make me more attractive for your team, your manufacturer? And I would get a consistent answer is that I need to stay in something for a little while. You know, I've obviously, you know, stand out because I've done all these different things, but I've never stayed in something for a while. And that's something that people, that was consistent feedback for me in that world. And this is the first time I've been able to do that. And I've had a lot of great opportunities and a lot of different race cars. And, I've had the chance to, with a really great team, a really great group of people, be able to perfect my craft. And it matters. It matters a lot. That's why these guys on Sundays who've been doing it for 10, 15 years are so good. That's why it's going to be so hard for me to go on Sunday and expect to do the same thing I'm doing right now. So that's why it's hard for guys like Chase Briscoe and Christopher Bell and Tyler Reddick in their first, you know, and Cole Custer, these guys that have, you know, dominated in this series. That's why it's difficult. It's experience. It's what you expect. You know, today I fired off into turn one, you know, because I knew how deep I could drive it in. I knew the adjustments I had to make to go three wide bottom and take the lead. That's experience. And it's nice to be able to have that, but I'm only going to have it for so long. So might as well take advantage of it and appreciate what I've learned and try and give myself the best head start I can for 2022.
Thank you, bud. Safe travels.
Thanks, man.
All right, we'll take our next question from Marty Sakala. Go ahead.
Thanks, Marissa. Austin, congratulations on the win, man. Just curious, before I ask my question, did I happen to hear on your radio line one of you guys say before that final restart you guys were effed?
I definitely did not say that.
Okay. All right, never mind then. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Dominic Aragon.
Cool. Thanks, Austin. So, 10th win here in the series, double-digit wins in the Xfinity Series. Just want to get your thoughts on tying guys like Jason Keller, Robert Presley, and 91 Series champion Bobby Labonte on the Xfinity wins list.
I didn't realize I tied Robert Presley today. You know, Coleman spots for me, his son, so that's pretty cool. I think I've done almost all of them with Coleman. So I think only Mid-Ohio I wouldn't have done with Coleman. So that's a pretty cool stat in itself. But no, it's great. And like I said, it's great to be able to be in the series. And there's been some really great drivers in this series. You know, you look at the guys that are winning championships and winning races on Sundays. They're champions of this series. You gotta be at that level. So I'm proud to have that on my fire suit. And I hope to be able to continue that effort.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, we'll take our next question from Shiloh with The Buzz. Go ahead.
Hi, Austin. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. First, I want to congratulate you on your win. It was spectacular. But what I really wanted to know, I know you called the race last night in the Arca Menard series, and I was just wondering if having that view and watching where the cars were running well and where the grip was, if you were able to use any of that today to help you.
I'm not sure it would have helped me any more than just watching like I normally would at home or on the couch, but it's definitely great to get some perspective. And that was a cool experience for me. Obviously, Menards is one of my partners, and Arca Menard series does a lot for young drivers trying to move up. You know, that's where I started Arca Menard. So it's cool to kind of roll reversal a little bit and call a race and you know, Bob Dillon and Jim Trito, those guys were really great with getting me integrated, and it was a fun experience. I hope to get to do something like that again. You know, I think it'd be really fun to get in there with another driver. I know Chase Chase did one of the races Daytona earlier this year. It'd be fun to get two of us in there and have a good time, because it's great perspective to look back and kind of remember what you were like back racing those cars. So it's cool series and glad to have a small part in it.
You did a great job doing that too. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take our final question from Luis Torres. Go ahead, Luis.
Thanks, Marissa. Congrats on the win once again, Austin. Just tell us, what just clicked? Because I know the first stage started it so well, then pit stops kind of happened, and it was kind of an up and down second stage before you finally got the car down in the final run. So
yeah, obviously we lost track position there after the stage break on pit road, and we were able to overcome a couple spots, but not enough. And as the restarts played out, and then obviously the final pit stop there, my guys did a great job. So I'm proud of that effort, like I said before, and that definitely got us in a position to be able to execute and me for me to do my job. You know, we only had three sets of tires this race, so I knew that it was going to be a challenging third stage no matter what it threw at us. So trying to figure out how to manage that run and manage that last set of tires was a challenge, but it's fun. It was a good day. It was executed well on many fronts, and there's definitely some things we can improve as well.
You felt like at any point that cleaner was race supreme, or it's just kind of one of those that the improvements made the car better at the end?
I definitely felt like in the third stage I needed clean air. I didn't know how much better I was than the seven, if any. I felt like he was really good on the short run, and I felt like I was good on the long run. So to have that track position for those short runs was really critical for me, because I think it would have been difficult to pass him. It's still a track position racetrack, but I think with the PG1, it's been a little racier. But it's important. You know, you can control the race, and obviously we're able to do that from start to finish.
Thank you, and congratulations once again.
Thank you.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on another win, and we will see you at Atlanta.
Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All righty, and to all of the media, thank you guys so much for joining us. As a reminder, we will have all of the audio and video on NASCARmedia.com shortly, and we will see you guys tomorrow for the NASCAR Cup Series post-race. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to someone on the communications team, and we will talk to you later.